Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Good morning. Take your Bibles to James chapter 3. And while you're turning there, or if you're using your phone or whatever electronic thing you do to get there, let me tell you, if you haven't heard already, Martha Coons, our dear sister, went to be with the Lord the other day. And right now she is seeing the other side of worship, how people worship like they're supposed to on earth. And her service will be August 30th here. We'll have a memorial service, and we'll give you more information about that later on. James chapter 3, as you could tell this morning with the couple of the perfect songs that were part of our worship, that we're talking about your most important battle. Your most important battle. Did you hear me? You need to take some notes today. I'm telling you, you do need to grab something. Pen, write on somebody the back of their shirt, write anywhere, because you can't remember all of this. Okay. Your most important battles are revealed right here in Scripture. And I've heard from the Lord this week for you. Let me tell you, your most important battle, as you already probably are figuring it out, it's right under your nose. Literally. If you take a gun and you give it to a police officer to protect you, that's a good thing. You take that same gun and you put it in the hand of a terrorist, and it becomes a bad thing. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody in here is carrying today. You have a weapon. The only question is, we don't know if you're a good guy or a bad guy. We don't know if you're a good guy or a bad guy. It depends on how you use your weapon. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 12:18. It also says that there are those who speak rashly like the piercing of a sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Words are powerful. Extremely powerful. In fact, truth be known, there'll be some of you that should wear this sign around your neck. People need to be forewarned about some of you because you're dangerous with a weapon. You need to go to concealed weapons permit training. Because the words that are coming out of your mouth are hurting people, wounding people, cutting people, and they're bringing death and they're not bringing life. Amen or oh me. And the goal of our life should be, Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, God. Walking in the fear of the Lord is simply being aware that God knows what I'm thinking, because words are thoughts before they're spoken. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And oh, what it is when you see someone use this weapon for good, to bring blessing. The scripture says in Proverbs 25:11, right words spoken at the right moment are like apples of gold in settings of silver. I mean, it changes the atmosphere. It changes people's life when you have the right word spoken at the right moment. Quickly, they're going to talk to you today about three things about your most important battle. We're talking about this little part of your body, it's about 4 inches long, in our mouth that God gave us to use for good. Three things. I'm going to talk to you today about your tongue has a source. Everybody say, my tongue has a source. Secondly, I'm going to tell you, your tongue sets the course of your life. Say, my tongue sets the course of my life. And then number three, my tongue is a force. My tongue is a force. So you'll follow along. This is where we're going. This is what's going to help you. First of all, your tongue has a source. In James chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, does a fountain send out from the same opening fresh and bitter water? Question mark. Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce flesh. A fountain has a source. A spring has a source. It's coming from somewhere, deep within, in the hidden part you don't see. A fig tree has roots, and the roots are hidden deep down, and you don't see them on the surface. Your tongue has a source from what it's getting its power to be used for good or evil. And that's what we need to consider. We need to consider the source. And your source is what's controlling the inside of you, where thoughts are formed and then words come out of your mouth. This source is the critical part we need to discover. Do you remember last week when I shared with you that your spirit is the innermost being of you? And when you're reborn, your spirit has a newly created spirit. Your spirit and God's spirit created together a newly created spirit that never existed before. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Outside of that is another realm called your soul, which is your mind and your will and your emotions. Now, your spirit is sealed. Nothing can contaminate that. That's why you can boldly always say, once you're born again, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You say, well, what about even sin? Well, you may have sinned, but your gift of righteousness didn't come from you. It came from Jesus. See? And so in your spirit, there's perfect holiness, perfection, no contamination. Nothing can get in that sealed spirit. But in the second realm is your soul. That's your responsibility. You're called to renew your mind with the Word of God. God's not going to do that for you. Your thinking doesn't change the moment you become a Christian. You change your thinking. Romans 12, 1 and 2, you are supposed to renew your mind. Now, in between, this is all review, in between your soul and your spirit is your heart. That's where you make your choices of what you believe. For with the heart, man believes, Scripture says. And your belief system gets corrupted or polluted by your unrenewed mind, will, and emotions. And that's why the Bible says you need to purify your hearts, you double-minded. How do you do that? By renewing your mind. See, just because you believe in Jesus to be saved, that's good, but that's not good enough for what God intends for your life. He wants you to not just believe in Jesus, He wants you to believe like Jesus, to have His mind, to think like Him, to renew your mind. And that's a process that you'll go through as long as you're here on this earth. So I'm pointing out something that's very, very important to you to understand, because when the Bible says, let's say, for example, Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit of God, that's not something you pray. That's a command from God. It's an imperative. God is commanding you to do something that can be done. How can you be filled with the Spirit? Once you're born again, the Spirit of God and your spirit resides in you. That spirit is uncontaminable. You cannot contaminate it. But you can release from inside you. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That's the life of God. And it will bring life wherever it goes. And it comes out of your innermost being, your spirit. It spills over into your soul and into your heart. And that's being filled with the Spirit. So you think like God, you act like God, you will like God, and you feel the emotions of God. Be filled with the Spirit. You open the gate to allow your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions to be flooded with the life of God that's in you. And there's more in you than you've ever experienced once you have Jesus in you. It's a constant running, flowing well that if you allow it as an act of your will, you literally exhale all the contaminants in your heart and your sin and just confess, oh God, I ask your forgiveness and your mercy for the things I've been thinking, the things I've been doing, the things I've been meditating upon. I ask for your forgiveness, and you exhale that, and immediately you inhale and you open up the gate, and the flood of the Holy Spirit comes in as an act of your will and by faith. You exhale the sin. Inhale, let the Holy Spirit take you. The Spirit, the pneuma, the breath of God, come in and fill every part of your being. Yeah. It's not that difficult. God said, do it. So you have the power to do that. You see, and then you have to understand, being filled with the Spirit is simply means to be yielded, obeying the command of God, opening the gate between your spirit and letting your soul and your heart being flood now be Spirit-led. Be Spirit-led. The Spirit will lead you. He wants to lead you. Ephesians chapter 5, just as a little side note, let's look at some scripture here. Ephesians 5, verse 17. Brethren, he says, so then, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Next verse. And do not get drunk with wine. That's foolishness, dissipation, uncontrollable. But be filled, controlled with the Spirit. Speaking, everybody say speaking. See how important words are? Even being filled with the Spirit involves you speaking to yourself. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. Singing and making melody in our heart and to the Lord. Speaking. Words. Words used by God. Words are simply nothing more than air coming out of your lungs. It was a thought. And then air coming out of your lungs and going over your tongue and out your mouth, the pneuma, the air. And then God agreeing with those words, or he inspired those words for you to speak. And once you speak them, he releases his power to do what only his word can do, to bring life to dead things, to bring hope to hopelessness, to bring healing to sick bodies. Words. I'm telling you the importance of knowing the source of the words coming out of your mouth. Now, words begin as thoughts, and they either come from God, or they come from you, or they come from the devil. Words are thoughts. They either come from God, or they either come from you, or they come from the devil. And the Bible tells us to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, the Lord knows that we got to watch our words, and we need to be alert to what's coming out of our mouth. And if it's not a word that comes from God, we need to capture it before it does damage. It can start a forest fire and burn everything down. It can wound people for life. And you should not speak everything that's on your mind until you have the mind of Christ. And so your words being spoken have to be taken captive to the obedience of Christ. And if you don't take your words captive to the obedience of Christ, then your words will take you captive to lead you to do what whoever is inspiring, whoever your source is, leads you to do. And if it's the enemy, it will bring death. Now, I shared with you a couple of weeks ago the Philippians 4:8 test. The Philippians 4:8 test. This is put in Scripture because we need this. Because sometimes we don't know, is that word from God? Is it just me? Or is the devil trying to inspire me to say it? Well, then Philippians 4:8 is the test. It's the frisk. You check that before you speak it. Is it true? Am I speaking truth? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it proper to say at this time? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Will it brighten the eyes of the people who hear it? Is it a good report? Does it build faith? Is there any virtue? Is it morally acceptable behavior? And is it praiseworthy? And if it is, he says, let your mind dwell on these things. In verse 9, it says, if you'll make sure that you frisk your thoughts before they turn into words, Paul says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, if you practice, every day's practice, folks. If you practice these things, if you follow the Philippians 4:8, before you speak it, does it have God's approval on it? And if it does, the God of peace will be with you, and you'll have peace in your heart about it, and you'll know you're speaking the truth, and God gave you permission to speak it, and it will bring fruit, and it will bring life. Just like a river, wherever it flows, the banks of the river always have life around it because the water brings life. Your words are to bring life. If it's from God, it'll bring life. The source from God will bring life. And the source from the enemy, or the source from you being deceived by the enemy, will always bring death, negativity, and harm. And you must realize there's a source. There's a source behind the words you've been speaking. There is a source. If you're critical, if you're negative, if you're sharp-tongued, if you just find yourself just always just speaking bitter things, or you're sarcastic with your words, it's because down inside where the source is, there's a bitter root. And you need to dig it up. Because it's ruining what God intended for your life, and your words are bringing death and not life. That's not what God intended for you. And if you're a Christian, as I said before, you have no right to speak your mind. You have no right to speak your mind. You must take your thoughts captive, and your mouth is to be a source of blessing, giving out life-giving words. Can I hear it? Amen. James chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, consider the source of your words. James 3, verse 9 and 10, therefore we bless God, even the Father, therefore, and therewith curse we men, after they're made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. And if that's true of you, God's sending you a warning today. He's saying something is terribly wrong inside of you. Go to the source. Check the fountain. See if there's a bitter root. Listen to yourself, or have people that love you enough that'll be truthful to you and tell you the words they've heard coming out of your mouth lately. Are they life-giving, or are they bringing death? Everyone say with me, my tongue has a source. Secondly, this is vital. This is critical. Your tongue literally sets your life course. It does. It sets the course, the path of your life. It has already, and it is. In James 3, verses 3 through 6, the scripture says, now if we put bits into the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Verse 4, behold the ships also, though they are so great, so big, and are driven by strong winds, they're still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot or the captain desires. Verse 5, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts great things. Behold how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. so is the tongue among the members of our body. It defileth the whole body. And it sets on fire the course of nature. And it set on fire of hell. Did you catch that part? It setteth, the tongue setteth on fire the course of nature. It sets on course. The tongue sets the course. The tongue has power. Just in the last couple of years, I would say, maybe a little longer than that, Pam and I have become more aware of how important the words we speak are, not only to God, but how they set our course. The words we speak. I've noticed some things that Jesus said that are really startling if you really believe Him. In Matthew 12, 37, He says, "By your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned and sentenced." Somebody's listening to our words, and they're writing them down, and they're going to be used for us or against us. It's either going to acquit us or it's going to condemn us. That's what Jesus said. And then He says this, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him." Your words and my words are setting the course of our life, of where we're going. You want to know what our future is? Listen to your words. Words are setting the course of your life. For example, you know, just because you say something doesn't mean it's so. I understand that. But what you are speaking is setting a course of where you're going. That's what the Bible tries to teach us Christians. We have power and authority with our mouth and with our words. For example, when the bills stack up and you got more month than your money can pay and all that, and the bills are stacking up, and you say words like, "I'm drowning in debt," those negative words that came out of your mouth, maybe no one else heard them. God heard them. The devil heard them. You heard them. Those negative words are setting a course because you spoke them. I'm not saying your problems are not real. They are real. But your problems are subject to change. Everything in this world is temporal. See, and if you keep confessing the negative, the change in your life will be for the worse. Have you ever noticed when you get in a negative mood, and never you start complaining about this and complaining about that, that seems like more negative things happen to you? "Well, preacher, I don't know if I believe all this confession stuff." Well, that's fine. You don't have to believe me, but you need to look at the Word of God. I don't know if I can believe all this confession stuff out of your mouth. I just like to believe quietly. Well, let me tell you what the Word says about that. 2 Corinthians 4:13, and you ought to memorize this one. Scripture says, "Having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore also we." So if you have faith, faith speaks. You just can't keep it quiet. It's the words that are coming out of your mouth that are setting a course, that are affecting the atmosphere. God's listening. You're listening. The devil's listening. And when you become negative about life, more negative seems to happen. Why? It draws the attention of the negative one himself, because you're talking the same language. Kill, rob, and destroy. He loves it, and he keeps company with those who talk the same language. But faith in God's word makes a difference. Romans 10:8 says, the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, Romans 10:8. So if you're going to walk in faith, your heart and your mouth have to agree. And you have to be like Abraham and call things that are not as though they were. You have to speak and speak life into atmospheres that are dead and look hopeless and believe that God's going to honor those words as long as they line up with God's words. And you have to believe that the mountain you see before you that everybody's telling you, it's impossible, it'll never change, it'll never go away, they'll never be healed, it's never been done before. You have to believe that that mountain is going to move because you've said to it to move. Because God gave you the authority to speak life to that thing. And is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Then let faith rise up, see. Faith sets a course for your life. You face things with confidence and strength and boldness. Or you cower and you cave and you give in. We walk by faith and not by sight. I'm telling you, God's calling you to a higher level than you've ever been before. Some of the examples that Jesus spoke about faith, he said in Mark 2:5, when Jesus saw their faith, he forgave them and he healed them. Daughter, your faith has made you well. All things are possible to him who believes. The major turning point in life is when you begin to exercise faith that God will make a difference in your life and in your circumstances as you trust him. And then you begin to use your tongue as a weapon for good, and it sets a course. The same way that a rudder sets the course for a great big ship, you can turn things in the course of your life. You can start moving toward God. You go toward the positive. You go toward faith. You start speaking what God says, and you change the course of your life. I don't care how dark it is and how grim it is. Can I get an amen from somebody? In the same way you put a bit in a horse's mouth, your tongue has a source. Your tongue sets the course. And what course you're setting for your life, now you get in agreement with God. Number three, your tongue is a force. Oh, this is what the enemy is afraid of. He's afraid you're going to get a hold of this truth today, and you're going to force him out of your life. You're going to force criticism out of your life. You're going to force him out of your life. He'd been using your mouth to bring all kinds of negativity and speak bad about people and speak bad about things. And he's been using you for a long time. And today you're waking up to the truth, and you're going to use this tongue that God gave you to speak life. And the enemy hates life, and you're going to drive him out of your life, and you're going to drive him out of circumstances. Your tongue is a force. When our heart beliefs line up with the word of God, and the mouth is opened and it speaks life out of it, the power of God is released on those words. And then it's released on the earth. And that's how miracles happen. Salvation is just for example. You believed in your heart. And then you confessed with your mouth. Jesus is my Lord. Didn't happen when you just believed in your heart. It happened when you did both. You believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth. And when it came out of your mouth, God honored it and he put power on those words. Same thing with healing. When you believe in your heart, but you use your mouth as a weapon, even against the symptoms and against what the doctors are telling you and against what everybody else is telling you and all that. And you say, by his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes, I am healed. I thank you, God. And you keep walking in that, see. You keep walking in that. You say, well, I don't see any change yet. You don't walk by sight, you walk by faith. You will see change. The mountain will move, maybe not instantly in your eyes, but it will change because your words are a force. Things move because kings and priests declare things and change happens. Baptism with the Holy Spirit, same thing. You believe in your heart, and then of all things, God gets to use that little 4-inch member in your mouth there. And you speak language that you don't know anything about, and your mind says, you're an absolute fool. You look like an idiot over here. And you tell your mind, shut up, you're not in control. I give my tongue to the Lord for him to, whatever he wants to do with me, he can do. And you are not in control anymore. You serve me, I don't serve you. You see, and it's all this, everything of God happens when we believe in our heart and we confess in our mouth, being refilled with the Holy Spirit. The scripture says those that are filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:19, they speak to themselves with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I've told you before, but it bears repeating. When I go on my prayer walk with God, I preach the best sermons I've ever heard in my life. And I tell God, I say, God, I can't even write that down and tell it. If I've tried to come back to you and try to preach it just like it came out of me that moment. And I said, God, how come I can't do that? He said, because you needed to hear it. It was for you. You speak to your words can bring life to yourself. Speak life to yourself. Don't look in the mirror and say, boy, you're ugly. Don't do that. I'm serious. Don't do it. Because some of you, you do do it. You're cursing yourself. Sometimes you have to call things that are not as though they were. You're the most beautiful person I've ever seen in my life. I can't even quote that one thing. I know what you're thinking about. Mirror, mirror on the wall. I can't even do that. Healing, financial, whatever it is. Now listen, I don't believe just because you're confessing God's word, you start confessing today and say, well, I'm speaking God's word over my life, that you're going to see a dramatic instant change. No, it's speaking the word consistently. Consistently. Words of faith, consistently. Jesus said, for this reason, I'm telling you that whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it will be granted you, and you will get it. He didn't say you get it now, but you will get it. And faith perseveres. See. Why does it take so long, preacher, for the manifestation of what I'm believing for? Well, there could be many reasons for that. Number one, you could be speaking out of both sides of your mouth. You could be speaking mixture. You could be speaking faith one moment, and then over here you get with your other friends, and then you speak doubt. Well, you got mixture in your life, and God wants you to clean that up. It could be the matter that you just need to persevere. Perseverance is essential to the Christian life. We walk by faith, persevering. Number three, God has his own timing for things. Number four, the enemy opposes you, and he's trying to hinder you, and he's trying to use your words against you, and you've got to quit giving him ammo. Words. Force. When a king speaks, things happen. A king doesn't beg, a king declares. It is so. A priest pronounces. It is so. You're clean, you're forgiven, you're healed. And you, people of God, are kings and priests. You're called to do both. So your words have double power. Now, your words are a force, and your words are either declaring kingdom declarations or kingdom devastations. Now, this is very important. You need to listen, church. You think about that. Your words are doing one or the other right now. And you think, well, it really doesn't matter. I come and I hear all this stuff. Oh, no, no. if you're part of this body and you're speaking kingdom devastations, you're hurting everybody here. You're causing harm to this body. Now let me prove it to you. When people speak criticism, condemnation, doubt, they're actually decreasing, not only affecting their own life, but they're affecting, when they're speaking about a church or things like that, they're decreasing corporate faith. See, there's personal faith, and you can only go so far on my faith. You can benefit from my faith. I can benefit from your faith, but you can only go so far with that. But there is a corporate level of faith that all of us can experience when we get in agreement with one another and we walk in agreement with God and we walk in faith and hope and love. And when that happens, we call that revival. God calls it normal. And so the words that we speak are bringing either kingdom devastations or kingdom declaration, and they bring devastation. It happened even to Jesus. In Mark chapter 6, it says, in Jesus' own hometown of Nazareth, he went in and he could not do many miracles there. He just laid his hands on a few sick folks and he healed them probably because of their faith. But everybody else over here, the scripture tells us why. It says in Mark chapter 6, they took offense at him. Who would be offended at Jesus? Well, the public school system is, because you ain't allowed to use his name. Congress is, they don't want you to use his name. Just come in and talk about God, but don't say Jesus. Because Jesus is the name above all names. There's power in the name of Jesus. And even speaking the name Jesus brings a kingdom devastation to the enemy's kingdom. Have you ever tried it? Next time you're in a den of darkness somewhere and you feel evil surrounding you, just shout out the name of Jesus. Jesus! You say, preacher, you're crazy. Well, you haven't been where I've been before because you already know that. Sometimes that's the greatest prayer you can ever pray. You just say, Jesus, Jesus, you're with me. It says they took offense at him. Imagine, this happened to Jesus. He could not do many miracles. They didn't have corporate faith. He had faith. The disciples had faith. A few people around him had faith. But most of them, there was an atmosphere of offense. They took offense at him. Isn't this just a... We know him. He's not nothing special. He's just an old... He was Joseph's son. And we know him. You can become way too familiar sometimes with things that you ought to be in awe about. When it comes to God, this happened to Jesus, and how people's words they were speaking, they were thinking them and they were speaking them, and it caused a decrease in personal and corporate faith. Wow. I wonder what would happen if everybody who attends here said, this is my church home and this is where you come regularly to feed. I wonder if every one of you here would, if everybody agreed to go on what's called a negativity fast. A fast. You're going to abstain from speaking negative. So you're going to go on a negativity fast and a positivity feast. Now, for 30 days, because I know that'd probably kill most of you. About 30 days. You can't speak critical about the government. Can't speak critical about this and that. And that. No, yeah, that's right. No, you can't. I just wonder. I'm just wondering, what would happen in this little building out here in the cow pasture? And the people here, in 1 month's time, I believe we could measure it. Because if Jesus couldn't do many miracles because the atmosphere was wrong, negativity and offense and all that in Nazareth, and he can't do many miracles anywhere where there's negativity and offense going on. Is that right? So what if we just decided that for 1 month, we're going to test this thing out and say, for 1 month, we're going to hold each other accountable, a negativity fast. No. If it ain't true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, no virtue of praise in it, that you just keep that back in here. Don't let it through that gate. Because God doesn't want you to say it. And so if everybody did that for 30 days, in 30 days' time, I believe we would see miracles, signs, and wonders. And we look back and think, was that all that was? Yeah. It wasn't that God didn't want to do miracles, signs, and wonders. He always does them. That's what he loves to do. But he ain't going to do it in a place that's going to be filled with negativity and doubt and backbiting and hurting. And well, we'll just see. Today, as you leave, usher's going to hand you a little sheet of paper if you want one. Enough there for every couple. It tells you what a negativity fast is not. Tells you what a negativity fast is. Put it on your refrigerator. Look it over. Ask God today before you leave. Come to this altar and ask God to give you the grace now to start walking at a higher level than you've ever done. Because this is going to require you that you do what God tells you to do anyway. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And realize the words coming out of your mouth are either condemning you or acquitting you. So it's what we should be doing all along anyway. But this is going to take you to the next level. In 30 days, you'll see a difference in your own life as well as in your church. And if you'll be your brother's keeper, when you hear somebody spewing off at the mouth and letting venom and poison come in all over this place, you'll say, hey, shut your trap. Well, I don't want to offend them. Well, they're offending everybody else in your family. Tell them, hey, close it. Put a lock on it. You don't have to say shut your mouth. That may be... that's negative. I mean positively, close your mouth. I mean, we have to be creative with this. But look, think with me. Is this true? What I'm telling you, does it make a difference? Kingdom declarations. We can say then, the kingdom of God is welcome here. Miracles, signs, and wonders welcome here. God said, if the kingdom is among you, then you'll see demons being cast out on a regular basis. You'll see things that are causing you to wonder. You'll go, how in the world? And it's God. Listen, folks, you got to make a decision. This is either truth or it's a lie. If every member of this church will just say, that's today, starting today, August 10th, write it down. I'm not saying you're going to be, when you mess up, quickly repent of it and get back on track. Because it's training. See, most of our life, we've been used to just saying what we want to say when we want to say it and without anybody holding us accountable. And you say, well, what about the problems I got in my life? I'm not saying that your problems are not real. They are real. But according to the Word, as I said earlier, they're temporal. That means they're subject to change. You say, Pastor, I want to do this, but I can't help thinking negative because I look at the mess of my life and everything's negative. Well, quit looking at the mess. Start looking at the Word and start speaking what God says over the mess. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And things will change when you line up with God and you're thinking and you're speaking and speak the Word, and they will change. And it's not easy. In fact, it is impossible. Scripture for that, James 3:8. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. God can control it as you give it to Him. This will require yielding. Now, He may have to wash your mouth out with soap before He can use it, but He'll use it if you let Him sanctify your mouth. And you got to surrender to Him. And it's going to be a day-by-day, moment-by-moment walk. And it's for 30 days, you're going to train yourself, renew your mind. Notice God compares negative words to deadly poison, like the venom of a snake bite. As soon as the snake bites into a body, the poison begins to spread throughout that body. The same thing happens in a church. When the venom is released from someone's mouth of negativity and doubt and criticism and harshness and anything that's not faith, hope, and love in it, it absolutely begins to spread and it touches other people and you can't take it back. And it brings death. And if this is new to you and you determined today that God wants you to change your negative words into positive, it's going to take some training, it's going to take some time. It's not going to happen overnight. And you might need a little, let me give you some personal advice that I had years ago from my wife. One day, Pam was listening to me, and she could tell I was really frustrated. I don't even remember what it was. It was a number of things. Things that just bother me and things that I couldn't do anything about. And she heard me getting frustrated and sighing and complaining over things I couldn't control. And she told me, says, "You have got to learn to let things go." Can I get a witness? You have got to learn. If you can't control that, you speak the truth, but you can't change people. You can't make people do this. You've got to quit getting frustrated over that, and you got to get to the point when things are beyond your control and they're happening beyond your control and they're not what you want, you got to say what I say. And I said, "What's that?" She said, "Oh, well." Some of you have heard this before. It's important. Oh, well. Practice with me right now. No. You gotta exhale like you're letting go. Oh, well. Let's try it again. Oh, well. It's beyond, now this is, now, oh, I gotta warn you here. You make sure you use this in the right place, or you might get your face slapped off. Don't you do this. It's a dangerous thing. Words bring life and death. This may bring death to you if you use it in the wrong way. Husbands, the next time you're out in the car waiting for your wife and it's late and your blood pressure is rising and you're honking on the horn and you say, "I don't know what else to do," what are you going to do? I think I heard someone say, "Drive off and leave her." Sir, that is not the right answer. No, I'm serious. This is everyday life where it's beyond your control. And you just spewing off and saying, you know, and then you go to church and you're going to come in, "Oh, bless the Lord." Out of your mouth come cursing and blessing. These things ought not to be so, brethren. Am I talking to you where you live or not? That's where we live. You've got to learn, and I'm still learning. I haven't mastered this. You just got to go, "Oh, well, we'll get there when we get there." Be careful. I'm warning you, don't use "oh, well" in the wrong place. If you're prone to operate in the spirit of stupid, don't use those words. You better use some common sense with it. "Oh, well" is a phrase to be used when you find yourself in frustrating circumstances beyond your control, and you sense yourself getting aggravated and frustrated, and you're ready to spew out some negative words. Instead of the negative words, "Oh, well, it really doesn't matter. It's not that big a deal. It's beyond my control. God knows it. We'll get there when we get there." Your tongue has a source. Say, my tongue has a source. Your tongue sets your life course. Say, my tongue sets my life course. Your tongue is a force. It can change the atmosphere in a moment. The right words spoken at the right moment bring life. The wrong words in a moment change the atmosphere and it becomes terrible. Do you know that even the scripture tells me that the spiritual leader of the church, the pastor, the leader, is supposed to invoke a blessing on God's people, which I'm going to do. I do that often here. I need to do it every Sunday. But in Numbers chapter 6, Moses told Aaron, the high priest, he said, make sure that you invoke a blessing on my people. In Numbers chapter 6, he told him, he said, now you, God's telling Moses to tell Aaron, the priest, to bless the people with words. Thus will you bless the sons of Israel, and you'll say to them. And the last verse he says, so they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and then I will bless them. Not until it's spoken. When the word is spoken, then God says, then I'll bless it, and I'll bless them. Force words. Is that true or is it false? After the altar call, I'm going to pronounce a verbal blessing on all those who receive it. And it's going to be God's spirit, pneuma, air, taking words that I speak from His word, and He's going to add His power to it, the life of God, to bring good into your life. Blessing. Your words have a source. Clean out the bitter roots. If you caught yourself being negative, sarcastic, critical a lot, just come to this altar in a moment and just say, oh God, get to the source of this matter in me. I don't know why I've been this way. I've been critical. I've been angry. I've been frustrated. Maybe you do know why. Just confess it to the Lord and say, I need your help to clean out the source so that my fountain is fresh, clean water from now on and my roots are no longer bitter, but they'll bring forth sweet fruit. Can I get an amen? You might need to come to this altar because you realize the words you've been saying are curses to your own life. Your life is set, you set your life course by words. And you need to consistently speak and say, God, help me. I'm going to go on a negativity fast starting right today because I know this is a change you want in my life. And so come to this altar and kneel before God and ask for His help. I need help in changing my mind and changing my thoughts and changing my words. I've not been consistent. Help me. And God will help you. And you will see your life course set for a higher dimension than you've ever been in. And finally, your words are a force to bless, not to curse. Let everybody stand to your feet. Altar workers, if you'll come forward. Musicians, if you come forward. At the end of this service, when you leave, ushers will give you a copy of the negativity fast so that you can say, I'm going to repent. Last week's message, I'm going to repent. Go back to the higher, the penthouse of thinking. I'm going to renew my mind so that I can represent Jesus to the world as He really is. He's the light of the world. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Make a decision. You're either in or you're out. You either agree or you disagree. I'm calling you today to let Jesus be the Lord of your life. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never confessed Him out of your mouth and believed in your heart and to a witness to somebody, then come forward in just a moment and speak to any one of these counselors and say, I am receiving Jesus. I just want you to know He is my Lord and my Savior, and I'm going to follow Him for all of my days. You can say that to any one of these guys. It's important to say it and hear yourself. Pray something like this with me if you're not sure you've done that. Let's everybody say it out loud. Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart. And I confess now with my mouth, you are alive. You are Lord. You are my God, my only Savior, my only hope, my helper, my Redeemer, my God, in whom I trust. Thank you for saving me, in Jesus' name. Now, you give feet to those prayers and come forward. You don't have to wait. Just come right now. Ma'am, you can just keep coming right now. Others of you, come to this altar. You've heard God talk to you today. Come to this altar and say, I'm in, Lord. I'm in. But I've got to do this with your help. I need your grace. Those who humble themselves before the Lord will find grace, Scripture says. You can't do this on your own. You can't do this by just making up your mind. You're going to need grace. And you find grace in the place of humility. So come right now. Come right now. Come right now. Just do business with God. Just get to the source. Get to the source of this. Repent. Renew. And then set a new life course. You get up from here, you're on a different course. You're going in a different direction, a higher place. And now your mouth is going to be used as a force for good. You're going to see literally your life change, your attitude change. People are going to notice within 30 days there's a difference in you. Oh, yes, there is. You got a different source. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. I knew you'd do it. Trust you. I knew you'd do it. Salvation, healing, deliverance, help, strength, hope. Yes, Lord. Come on, go deep, go deep, go deep. You've got to have grace from God, and He'll give it. God will give you grace. Now you got a direction. You got a vision in front of you. This is going to make a big difference in you. It's going to make a big difference in your life. Your family's going to see it. Your friends are going to see it. Oh, this is a good thing. God's been waiting for this moment to co-labor with you in taking your thoughts captive, breaking old fleshly habits, finding deliverance, finding healing and peace. Your spouse is going to notice a difference. Your kids are going to notice a difference. Your co-workers. Oh, yeah. You're going to feel lighter. You're going to start to live, and the life of God is going to flow through you fully, completely, with no hindrance. And you're going to be a river of life yourself. And out of your belly will flow, and then out of your mouth, rivers of living water. People are going to ask you, how come you're so positive? How come you're so hopeful? What's happened in you? Oh, thank you, God. And then you'll know it's showing. 30 days. 30 days, God's going to change your life. Your whole life direction's about to change for good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And you're going to speak to problems the Word of God. You're going to see mountains move. Yes. In just a moment, I'm going to pronounce a blessing upon you. The very word of God, God once spoken over his people. Numbers chapter 6. And if you're in your seats, if you're not being ministered to, just lift your hands to receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious, favorable to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. And then the scripture says, so they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, the people of God, and then I will bless them. Thank you for the blessing, Father. Oh, thank you for the peace. Thank you for the countenance of God upon us. Thank you for the light of God in our eyes. Thank you for grace and favor upon us. Everywhere we go, we have gracious favor. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for your peace, God, that passes all understanding. Thank you, Father, for the blessing is upon me this day in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, who is Lord. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.